All right, welcome back to week number two in our Lessons from the Desert series. We've been talking about the desert as this in-between space, this place where we're not where we were, but we're also not yet at the place where we're going. So this in-between space, we've been learning that there's something very formational about this kind of space. We call it a desert space, as the Israelites left Egypt, but they were not yet at the promised land, and they learned a lot and were formed and shaped a lot in the desert. And last week, that was our lesson number one from the desert, that we want to look for how God is shaping us in these times, and we don't want to miss the formation. And so that was lesson one. Lesson two this week comes from what I think is one of the more common experiences when we find ourselves in the in-between, when we find ourselves in that desert space. And it's something in that experience that I like to call instant expertise, right? The moment where we find ourselves in this in-between space, we often suddenly become experts. Without even knowing it. We love to do it. We love to be backseat drivers and armchair quarterbacks and comment section governors, right? When things change drastically, it does not take long for us to think we know best. It does not take long for us to think, well, I know the best way out of this desert, or if only we just did this, or if only we just did that, or if I can just figure this out, then we got it all figured out, right? But what I want to do today is look at one story in the Bible, I think, that helps us understand both why we do that and also why taking the opposite approach is better for us. So our story comes out of Exodus chapter 13. The Israelites have been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. God shows up. We have this great story of the 10 plagues. Moses leads them out of Egypt and towards this promised land. But as they get going on the journey, this is what Exodus 13 tells us. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that road was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Now, there's a couple of different ways to get where you're going. In fact, if you actually just traveled a straight line from Egypt to the Promised Land, you could get there in a couple of weeks. But they spent a long time, 40 years in the desert, experiencing the journey God is leading them on. And so right here at the very beginning, as they even get to the Red Sea, it says God could have taken them the fast way, the Philistine road, the common road, but he was worried. He was worried that they would want to return to Egypt. That's weird to me, right? Why would you want to go back to the place where we were enslaved for 400 years? Why on earth would God be worried that they would be like, you know what? I really want to go back to Egypt. Well, honestly, take a look at some of these pictures and you might see why. These pictures show you what it's like to live in Egypt. Egypt is founded around the Nile River, and every year it floods and it's great farming. I mean, Egypt is lush and green, and you can see the moment where that changes to brown desert. So there's a stark difference, and the difference is so obvious to us of, yeah, I would love to live in the green space. I don't want to be in the desert space. I wonder if those Israelites said those things as they stepped foot across that line that you could see so plainly in the pictures. But I found that that's not necessarily how deserts work for us, right? We can't plan for them. We can't see them coming. They sneak up on us. One minute, our life is green and healthy and comfortable. And then the next one, it feels like suddenly I'm in the middle of the desert. How did I get here? But think about where we are right now in the midst of your pandemic experience. I bet there was a moment where this crashed into you in some way, where you realized suddenly life is about being in the in-between. Suddenly life is about being in the desert. And maybe for you, if you're a kid, it was the moment you realized, I'm not going back to school this year. I don't get to say goodbye to my teachers or my friends. Or maybe you're a teenager and you're like, man, the moment I realized we weren't having graduation or prom. Or maybe you're engaged and you realized we're not getting married this year. Or maybe you run a business and you are looking at the numbers and it came crashing into you that I'm gonna have to lay some people off. I bet for every single one of us, there was a moment That felt like we stepped out of the green and we crossed an imaginary life into the dusty brown desert. In fact, I would encourage you to take a few moments, pause the video right now, and either talk about with someone who you might be watching with, or write down in a journal, take some notes, and just name what those moments were, or that one moment was for you where you felt like, oh, now I've crossed into something different. All right, now that we've had that conversation, or you've thought a few minutes about that transition, that moment where you went from green to brown, or Egypt to the desert, let's change our minds a little bit on what that desert experience might feel like. Because even though the desert sneaks up on us, it doesn't sneak up on God. Because for God, the desert has always been a primary source of important relationship between God and his people. In fact, every hero you look at in the Bible, every main figure often has a desert experience. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, all of them were shaped in the desert. Why wouldn't it be any different for you or for me? The desert is often this spot. In fact, God talks about the desert as the place I brought my people out so I could speak lovingly and tenderly to them. For God, the desert is the place where he marries his people. Yet for us, the desert is the place where we grumble and complain and fall apart. We don't like it there. So why is it that we avoid it? Or even worse, when we're in it, think we know best how to get out of it, right? I think there are honestly three reasons why we tend to do that. Three reasons why we tend to move away from the desert or think we know what to do next. Three reasons why we make the decisions we make when we're in the desert. And the first one is we fear. We're afraid. I mean, think about what God said. If they face war, they're going to change their minds and go back to Egypt. If they run into something hard, unexpected, something they've never done before, they're going to get scared and want to go back. That makes sense, right? We all feel that way. We're going to enter into an unknown space, and that causes a lot of fear for us, and we'll make our decisions based out of that fear. The second thing is we don't just fear, we feel. I mean, look at this picture again. You feel something here, right? Green is better than brown. Comfortable is better than hard. The third thing is we fear things, we feel things, we forget things. I mean, look at the verse from the very next chapter in their experience in the desert. Just as they step into the desert, they say, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out here to Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So, okay, wait a minute. Serve the Egyptians? You were slaves to the Egyptians. Pharaoh made it hard for you to bake bricks in the sun without any straw. Don't you remember? We literally just left. They were enslaved, but they've already forgotten what life was like. And so we do that. When we make decisions, when we think we know best about how to be in this in-between space, we're often doing that based on things we forget, things we feel, and things we fear. Those are the things that make us feel like, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm the best expert here. But the point of the desert is actually for us to realize we don't know best. That's actually the thing that shapes us, the realization that we don't see the whole picture, but God does. It's the shaping of us that helps us invite us into the space that says, God has something so much bigger for me that I can't even see. God had something better for the people of Israel than to be comfortable. He had something better for them than to get to the promised land as quick as we can. Instead, God said, this desert, this in-between, this moment, this is the opportunity where you're going to learn how to trust me. What if God sees something that we don't see? You see, to embrace our desert, to embrace the lessons of the desert, is to fully embrace that God shapes us even when we can't see how he's doing it. They didn't wander aimlessly in the desert. Scripture after scripture says to the people, remember when the Lord your God led you out of Egypt. He led you into the desert. In fact, Jesus was led into the desert to have these experiences. That's what God is doing. God knows something we can't know. He sees things we can't see. For the Israelites, it took them 40 years before they even realized that they were being led. So, lessons from the desert. Lessons from the in-between space we're in. Lesson number one is all about realizing God is shaping us. And lesson number two is all about realizing we don't know best. We don't know best. So let me end with some simple ways we can embrace lesson number two, this idea that we don't know best, to help remind us of that. And the first one is, don't forget. Lesson number two means we work really, really hard to remember where God has led us in the past, what God has done with us in our life already, what has God already done in your life, and don't forget it. So don't forget. Also, don't feel. That's not to say don't experience your feelings. Like, you should feel all of your feelings, but you shouldn't necessarily trust them. Learning lesson number two means we check our feelings. I'm experiencing this feeling. I wonder what that means. We check it with each other, we check it with God and with ourselves. We ground our feelings before we make decisions based on our feelings. Just because I'm feeling something doesn't mean it's always the best choice for me to pursue that feeling. Some of you know this. Some of you have been working hard to make decisions based on what you know, not what you feel. And this is a good time when you're in the midst of the in-between to not result to making decisions based on feelings. Sometimes when we're in the desert, our feelings can lead us back into slavery. So don't forget, don't feel, and then third, don't fear. Learning lesson two means we also don't trust our fear either. Things are never as good or as bad as we think they might be. So lesson two means we hold on to hope for the future. That's what we decide on. That's the decisions we make, not based on what we're fearing. So don't forget, don't feel, and don't fear. And let's see what we can do when we trust the thing that we cannot see. In fact, it might actually be a really good idea for you to have an exercise. Maybe it's a conversation right now. Maybe it's a thing you want to journal about. But to name some things. Number one, name what you want to remember about God. What's the thing I want to remember and I want to take with me? I want to remember that God loves me and always will, whatever it might be. Two, you can name a feeling or a fear that you shouldn't be trusting right now. This is true. I'm feeling this. I'm afraid of this. And I want to name it, but I don't want to make my decisions based on it. So name that. And then third, name a hope. What's a thing I look forward to that I'm going to make decisions based on? That I know, I hope, I'm going to see people again. I'm going to be connected to my family again. I'm not going to go to a grocery store where I'm fearful of just engaging with people. And I'm going to remember that that day is coming, and I'm going to make my decisions based on that. So as we end, I want to give us a reminder from Paul. Paul didn't necessarily write about deserts, but I think what he says in Romans 5 reminds us of this desert in-between experience. And so here's what we can do. We can remember this verse from Paul. Maybe it's worth praying over this week. And here's what he says with a few additions from me. Let us glory in our sufferings, in our deserts, in our in-between spaces, because we know that our deserts, our sufferings produces perseverance. That perseverance produces character, and character hope. So as we enter into this next piece of our service, as we enter into a short time of worship, it's worth considering that hope we have in a God who knows so much better than we do. And that the desert, the in-between spaces, create something inside of us that he's doing on purpose to shape us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I confess to you that it's easy for me to make my decisions and think I know best, because I feel things, I fear things, and I forget things. But God, I confess that though that's what I want to do, that's not best for me, God. I actually don't know best. So God, would you lean into us in this coming day, these coming days, this coming season? Would you remind us that you know better than we do? God, would you encourage us with the hope that you have more in store for us than we can see ourselves? Allow us, God, to let go of our own control and to lean in to following you in the midst of uncertain desert in-between spaces. Amen. All right, friends. Well, as we seek to find the formation in the midst of the desert, and as we learn that we don't actually know best about everything, I want to give you this blessing as you go. And the blessing is this. Let us embrace the work and the wonder of this day with fresh commitment. May we go forward together, even as we're isolated, in the power of the love of God, in the company of Jesus Christ, and in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen.